listening to Morning Devotions during the next 30 minutes. This is John Thrang. I sure hope that I can say something, do something, play a song for you, say a few words that will be an encouragement and a strength to you. I think one of the things that God wants to do so much in our lives is to encourage us and strengthen us and refresh us. There's so many verses of Scripture in the Bible which tell us that very thing. Even as David said, "In the day when I cried, you answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul." That's what God wants to do for you. I know you work hard. I know you run into all kinds of frustrations and conflicts. And yet, you can't quit. But how can you keep going? That's where God comes in. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God is our strength. And to be able to say, as the psalmist did, "I will go in the strength of the Lord God." And his word certainly brings encouragement to us. When it seems that you can't take another step forward, God's word serves as an anchor for the soul, and it gives us that buoyancy and that boost to help keep us afloat. And not just to barely keep your head above water, but to be more than conquerors through him who loved us. Verses of Scripture like this one in Isaiah 32, verse 2, "And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." The Lord Jesus certainly is the ultimate fulfillment of that verse. He is that hiding place from the wind, from the tempest that would sweep against us. He is that river of water in a dry place when everything is so empty and dry. He brings that refreshment to our soul. He is the shadow of that great rock in a weary land when the sun beats down in all its fierceness. He becomes that hiding place. And oh, I just trust that during these 30 minutes of devotions, as we sit at Jesus' feet in a half hour of quiet on the inside, in worship to our wonderful Lord and Savior, that he can fill us through and through, fill us with his Holy Spirit. Let his blessed quietness fill us. I'm not talking about just getting away from all the tumult and turmoil and quit your work and retire. I'm talking about that quiet that comes on the inside. And then when you have that blessed quietness and stillness that comes from heaven, then turn to meet your day and do all the work that is there for you to do. Or as you have heard me say so often, every morning lean thine arms a while upon the windowsill of heaven and gaze upon thy Lord. Then with a vision in thy heart turn strong to meet thy day. But when we find in him a hiding place, and he becomes our peace and our quietness, then you can do your work, and do it well, and succeed in it. O Lord, thou art my hiding place, the shadow of a great rock in a weary land, rivers of water in a dry place. Thank you. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And God said unto Abram, I am the Lord who brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldeans, to give thee this land to inherit it. And Abram said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And Abram took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And God said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a sojourner in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall come here again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace, and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. It's amazing to me the prophecy that was given way back yonder near the fountainhead of the Hebrew race, in Genesis chapter 15, and the promises that God made to Abram, which will certainly be fully fulfilled and will come to pass. But the main point I want to make in this story is the faithful consistency of Abraham, how he stood his ground. He had done what the Lord told him to do, laid everything on the altar of sacrifice, and nothing happened. But when the fowls swooped down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. While he was waiting there for God's answer, he drove the birds away and remained consistent. There are times that when you are waiting for God to answer prayer, to fulfill his promises, to keep his word, there are times that you've got to drive the birds away. The birds of doubt, the birds of laziness, the birds of unbelief, the birds of worldliness. You've got to drive them away while you hold your ground waiting for God to do what he promised. What does the scripture say? But ye have need of patience, so that after ye have done the will of God, ye might inherit the promise. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. He stood his ground. And then God did answer. Consistency is the opposite of contradiction. Titus 1 verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. To say one thing, but to live the opposite. To be something sweet and pious on Sunday, but a devil on Monday. Consistency speaks of firmness, persistence, the absence of contradiction. And I think that one of the hardest things in life to achieve is to live always in harmony with what you believe and profess to be true. To keep an even speed, consistency, to hold one's ground, and even when the birds come down to devour the carcass and nothing is happening as you have made your offering of sacrifice. What does Ephesians chapter 6 say? Having done all to stand, we just keep on standing. You keep driving the birds away. God will answer. But to be consistent, to be at an even speed, always doing what we know God would have us to do, whether you feel like it or not, whether it's rainy or sunny, whether you feel up or you feel way down. Makes no difference. You know what God requires, and so with all your heart, you do it. You're not full of zeal one day and can't even lift up your head the next day. You're not hot today and cold tomorrow, feeling today like you can kill a giant and tomorrow can't even lick a flea. Today you can take on the devil single-handedly. Tomorrow you can't even lift up your own head. Today you're faithful in everything. Tomorrow you don't show up for anything. Consistency. Always doing the will of God. Regardless of circumstances or feelings, because you know that the mature saint lives by faith, not by emotions, not by feelings. Now, I thank God for feelings, and I'm so thankful when emotions do come, but they don't always come. There are times when you feel that God is so far away, and yet He's not. Jesus said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'm going to be right there. And so the mature Christian lives by faith, not by feelings, and knows that he must always be doing the will of God while it is still day, because the night cometh when no man can work. And so he plows ahead in God's strength. Romans 12, verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That word fervent is a verb meaning to be hot, to boil, to glow. That's how the Lord wants us to be. How many people in your church are like that? Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to have a church full of people who are never slothful in business, but they are fervent, they are glowing in spirit, serving the Lord always? Not one day and then not the next, but always. Think of all the scriptures in the Bible which talk to us about being always doing what God wants us to do, like always rejoicing. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Not just hit or miss, not just now and then, but always. In everything, give thanks. But this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Being consistent. Even when nothing's going on, nothing's happening, and the birds are swooping down to destroy what you're offering up to God, you hold your ground. You're consistent. Rejoicing in the Lord always. Always prayerful. Luke 8, 18, verse 1. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Always holy. Jesus said, John 8, verse 29, I do always those things that please Him. Always loving. Jude, verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. We are to do this always, not just when people like you, not when you're just treated in a way that you want to be treated, but when people rub against you and irritate you, to be always loving, always meditating on good things, godly things. Psalm 1, verse 2, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. Always living in victory. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, who always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Oh, dear friend, can the Lord count on you? Are you consistent? Or do you have to be pulled, encouraged, propped up, stirred up? Does someone have to always be visiting you, begging you, calling you to serve God, to be in church, to do your part? Or Do you have the same consistency that Abram did as he stood his ground, even though nothing was happening, standing there driving away the fowls that would destroy his offering? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So many of us come and go with the tide. We fluctuate. So many of us wax and wane like the moon. Would it not be better for us to live our lives as the Apostle Paul said it, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. There's so many things that can happen in one's life to cause you to abandon faith, to lose heart, to grow lukewarm and cold and indifferent. May we not do that. May we be always rejoicing in the Lord, always prayerful, always living a holy life, always loving, always meditating on godly things, always living in victory. If someone sees you today, you're living in victory. If someone drops in to see you next year, you're living in victory. If someone sees you 10 years from now, you're still rejoicing in the Lord, living in victory. No matter what's happening, still driving the birds away, having patience, knowing that it serves to pay the Lord, to serve him, to be what he wants you to be. And anyway, isn't it worthwhile to serve Christ and to put him first in our lives, to worship him? Hasn't he been the best of all friends to you? He is that friend who sticketh closer than a brother. Have you come to know him intimately? Do you live close to the heart of God? Not far away, but do you walk near to him? Do you hear his whisperings? Does his Holy Spirit fill your life through and through? Have you found Jesus precious? Then as you do, it becomes easy to be always rejoicing, always prayerful, always holy, always loving, always meditating, always living in victory. Because the closer you live and walk with Jesus, the easier it is to please him and to serve him and to be always walking close to him.
What a precious friend is he.
I've a friend who's always near me. I've a friend who always cheers me. I'm relying. Oh,
Lord Jesus, I thank you and praise you for your great love and faithfulness to me. My heart is filled with joy whenever I think of the great gift of salvation you have so freely given to me. And I humbly glorify you, Lord Jesus, for you have forgiven me all my sins and brought me to the Father. Now I come in obedience to your call. I want to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I do not come because I am worthy myself, but because you have invited me to come. Because you have washed me from my sins, I thank you that you have made the vessel of my life a worthy one to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I want to be overflowed with your life, your love, and your power, Lord Jesus. I want to show forth your grace, your words, your goodness, and your gifts to everyone I can. And so with simple childlike faith, I ask you, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I open all of myself to you, to receive all of yourself in me. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice in praise to you. I welcome your might and your miracles. May they be made manifest in me for your glory and for your praise. Amen. It was a beautiful prayer given by Jack Hayford that I wanted to use on the program today. But let it become our own personal prayer for the infilling of the fullness of the Spirit of God, the precious Spirit of God. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. O Lord, fill us with your fullness today as we worship you. Sorry that the program's having to come to a close. I've run out of time. This is John Thrasher. Thanks for listening. Our mailing address, Post Office Box 552, Bristol, Tennessee, 37621. Thank you for listening to Morning Devotions. Have a good day. Live in victory. Hold your ground. Be everything God wants you to be. And as you worship Him and love Him, He will become your strength, your everything.
We worship you.
friend.